Hi, welcome to the Circle of Mothers. I am Linda Tao and I will be your host. This podcast is dedicated to inspiring you to confidently raise your child in a world where parents are bombarded with do's and don'ts. In the podcast, I interview with remarkable mothers from all walks of life who share their parenting experiences, beliefs, strategies, struggles, and triumphs. So let's join together to create an encouraging circle of mothers. Hello, everyone. It is so nice to be back here and recording another episode on Circle of Mothers podcast. I took an entire month off to rejuvenate my soul and for some self-reflection. Life gets so busy and we often get lost in all the noises from outside. It is good to take some quiet time to listen to the voice on the inside of us. I am happy to be back and cannot be more grateful for our guest, Annie Lee. Annie was born and raised in a Thai refugee camp and came to the U.S. at the age of 13. Her family settled in Stockton in 1993 and since has become her hometown. She has worked as a children counselor for over 15 years, specifically with foster children who are labeled as troubled youths or delinquent youths. She believes children who suffer in silence, who act out through violent or harmful behaviors, are a result of not knowing how to verbalize their emotions. Not only is she passionate about helping children to know who they are and that they matter and that their voices matter, Annie is also passionate about helping women to rediscover who they are, to redefine who they want to be, and to live intentionally to influence positive changes. Annie is the co-founder of Mom Woman Today, a woman empowering women community aiming to cultivate authentic connections, collaborations, and community. She believes that a life well lived is one that is intentional and fulfilled with love, authenticity, and purpose. She leads workshops, retreats, and women's circles for women to be heard, seen, and valued. As a children counselor for 15 years, she recognizes when children and adults feel belonged, safe, and accepted as they are, they thrive. I've had the privilege of getting to know her and attend her workshops, retreats, and hopefully circles in the future. She's just an incredible human being, and it makes me want to do good in this world because of the good she shares with the world. You are going to love this episode as we both discuss about raising children to show up fully as they are. Welcome to Circle of Mothers, Annie. I have waited so long for this episode to happen. When I first started this podcast, you were one of the very first people whose names I wrote down. I knew I wanted you on this episode, not only for our listeners, but for myself. You've had a tremendous influence in my life. You continue to do so, but we just have not had the time or chance to talk about motherhood or parenting. We both know being a mother is one of the most important roles we have, and so I just can't wait to dive in. So why don't we just start off by telling everyone, when did you discover your passion for working with children?
Well, thank you, Linda. Thank you for having me on for today's talk. Gosh, you know what? I didn't realize that working directly with children and with women is really what I wanted to do. It was almost kind of like it was meant to be. Right, where I kind of just get myself into. I remember when I first started working as a children counselor with foster children, it was such a culture shock for me. I didn't realize how challenging it was, just because growing up as a Hmong woman in all culture, in the Asian culture, you know, we have such high respect for adults, right? And then when you get into working with kids, you see them being oppositional and just doing everything that is contradictory to how the way you were brought up. And so I didn't like it, honestly. You know, even though I went to school to become a teacher, because that was the only profession that I was exposed to. So I thought that's what I wanted to do. But I realized I didn't even like it then, right? But then somehow I kept getting pulled towards, you know, working with kids. And so when I started working, because it was so challenging, that I also didn't want it to just give up. I wanted to be better. I have this thing about me where I'm very competitive, right? I wanted to be better and win, right? And so I stay in my job to improve my skills. I wanted to be able to work with children. And I was also inspired by other people who are really good with kids. And so as I stay on and on, I finally figure it out, right? And just become good at it. And when that happened, I also realized it has a lot to do with who we are, our capacity and capability to lead, right? As an adult, as a mom, as a role model. And so then I went into the personal growth field where I learned a lot about myself, being aware of my own, they call it programming, right? That I learned from my parents, or limiting beliefs, right? Or the kind of beliefs, the values that was instilled in me as I was growing up. So as I start to peel all that and really like go deep and know who I am and what I what I'm good at, what I stand for, that's when I realized that to make a difference, it comes down to who we are, and that is the way we're being ourselves, being a mother. And then when I realized I wanted more connection with my mom's sisters, I started the Mom Woman Today just to, in a way, at first it was for myself, you know, to feel connected and have a better sense of who we are, of who I am. And then I realized that we all want the same thing too. We wanted to do more, give more, be more, so that we can better serve our family. So it really comes down, you know, as I think it back about the work that I do, it really comes down to first me feeling worthy, feeling heard, seen, and accepted. And so then I realized how that affect the people around us, the way we raise our children, right? The way we relate to our spouse or the people around us.
I am glad you brought that up, Annie. You shared with me in your biography that when children and adults feel belonged, safe, and accepted as they are, they thrive. And I am just honored we're going to be talking about this topic today. You know, although we are focusing primarily on children, I know it will be helpful not only to raising children, but also the parents who will be tuning into this episode, right? As they listen on our episode, I just hope that they learn how to show up as themselves. So tell us, what does it mean to you for children to be able to rise up and show up as themselves?
Yeah, so children are, our children are a result of who we are. I believe you say that in one of your podcasts, right? And so, yeah, I listened to one of your podcasts. I think you mentioned something like that. And it's so true, right? The impact that we have on other people, it reflects really from who we are at the core. And so if we don't feel worthy, if we don't feel heard, seen, and accepted, or if we don't fully accept ourselves and fully showing up as we are, how can we, right, teach them to be that? Eventually, we will get in the way. If we don't know what that is and we don't know how to model that, we will project how we feel, how, what we believe towards our children. And it's going to continue. The cycle is going to continue.
I feel like you are speaking directly to me. I am a work in progress, and I am constantly reflecting on how to improve myself, especially overcoming the limiting beliefs I place on myself. I agree so much with you on working on ourselves before working on our children. We first need to be able to show up as ourselves before expecting our children or teaching them to do the same. So how are you doing this? How are you showing up as yourself to create a space safe enough for your children to rise up and show up as themselves?
Mm-hmm. So it's also something that I do in Women's Circle and you know, at the retreat too, is that we teach people or create opportunity for people to share, to speak their truth, to connect with their truth, right, is that they're able to verbalize how they feel, connect with their intuition, and speak without fear. And so first, I need to practice doing that so that I allow my children to do that, right? Just because they're children doesn't mean that I know it all and that they should just listen to me, right? Is that I'm being intentional and being able to speak my truth so that I can honor everyone else's truth. And then when I speak with children, I speak to them like they're just another human being. You see that they are brilliant, right? That they are good as they are. So you speak to them with respect, right? And by allowing them to share and by listening, giving them that active listening and attention and take them seriously and really hear them out, right? So that's one. And again, it's all about being heard, being seen, being accepted. And so constantly modeling that, being that myself, and when I'm talking to people, my children or anyone, is that I'm allowing that to take place. And so the way that I raise my children is again to really trust them that they are the driver of the bus, and that me and anyone else around him or her are just the people in the bus. And you know, children are the driver. We can tell them where to go, but they will be the one to decide which way they're going to turn. Yeah, because if we force them or make them nervous or scared, they react, you know, out of fear, eventually all of us will go down, right? So it's so important to trust children that they are the driver of the bus and we are only the guide. They are the hero and the shiro of the journey. And so when you see this and you respect them that much, then you allow them to make choices, allow them to speak, allow them to choose. And I know it's not easy because we're more experienced. We see things different way. And there are times where we just wanted to say, no, this is the way. And I think we can still do that, but it's really an art, right? It's how we guide them and still make them feel like it's their choice by simply knowing what do they really want out of, you know, the decision that they are making, right? What do they really want, and give them the options of how they can still get what they want, so that we allow them to make choice for themselves.
You mentioned we have to learn to trust our children, and it makes me think back on what we said earlier, that everything starts within us. Most of the time when parents do not trust their children, it actually is because they don't trust themselves enough. So what inner work have you done or would recommend for parents to do to begin to trust themselves and to trust their children and in their children's decisions, right? Or maybe what can we do so that our children can begin to trust and show up as themselves?
So I do guided meditation, right, to connect with Mother Earth, to connect with God, right? So there's different areas of our life, right, that makes us whole, and that is our spiritual area, right, our mental area, our you know, like, how would I, is that intellectual area, right? Yeah, right, where you have different area where you focus on improving. And for me, I think the part that gives me the most confidence, the most assurance of my life is really my spiritual area, where when I strengthen that area, I feel safe, I feel loved, I feel supported, I feel enough, right? And that I go beyond the physical realm, where I see myself as a spirit just having human experience, knowing that I am enough, I am worthy, that if I'm here is because I'm worthy of being here. And when you walk around knowing worthy, feeling worthy, feeling enough, you have this sense that of confidence that whatever comes your way, you are able to distance it and not being so personal at it. Yeah. And so meditation is something that I do. I mean, sometimes I just get stuck into meditation. I end up crying. I just feel love and so like enough, you know, coming out just feeling like, ooh, it's almost kind of like, gym, I got exercise, and you walked away, you're feeling like, ooh, I feel so good, so light, right? I felt the same doing meditation. I used to do a lot of affirmation as well. I think that's really like the beginning, right? Is to change your language. Okay, change your language, change your belief, change what you focus on, change your posture. These are the four things that we can do to change, you know, how the energy, to raise the vibration, right? Is really first believe you're enough, believe you're worthy, because everything you do just kind of like reflect from how you feel. Right. So then affirmation, meditation, whatever helps you, music helps you too. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then the language, right? Positive language. You shift, you be intentional, reframe how you say things. Use words that you want to create. Yeah. So that's also something I do. And then focus on what you want so that you can magnify and amplify that, right? So that's why they say think positive, you get positive, you do things positive, you focus. That's what you're going to see.
Have you read the book, The Secret?
Mm-hmm. That's actually way back in my very first, way back in like 2003, I think 2004, when I first started my personal growth. The Secret was really like the sparks that makes me feel like, really? I have the power to choose by just shifting how I see it? Shifting my beliefs, shifting my words, shifting my focus, right? And that was the first moment that I realized, oh my God, I have that much power? Oh my goodness, that I didn't realize.
I just finished reading The Secret this weekend. As I'm listening to you, I'm wondering to myself, oh my gosh, Annie sounds like she knows The Secret. And, you know, I only discovered or started my self-growth journey about 2 years ago, which makes it easier to understand what you are speaking of or where you are coming from with this whole idea on us as human beings having the power to change or choose. But it has taken me over 20 years to come to that realization or become open to these things. So my question is, how do you just bring these things up and expect your children, especially toddlers, to understand? You know, we as parents, we know it's ideal to begin instilling values in our children at an early age, so later as they become teenagers and adults, they become comfortable enough to express themselves.
Okay, so let me see how I can best answer that. So for me, it's really making them feel belong, making them feel loved, accepted as they are, right? So everything you do, you're constantly reinforcing that beliefs in them. And then again, remember I say the four things is your belief, your language, what you focus on, and your posture. So the belief is you have a lot of influence in that, right? You make them feel you're enough, honey, right? That's fine, right? And great, you made a mistake. You learned. What are the lessons? It's really just like making them, don't make them feel bad, basically. Whatever you do, always trying to notice. You know, don't ever make them feel ashamed or guilty or you know, bad, right? So that's the belief part. And then the language part is be intentional, helping them reframe the way they talk. I mean, kids nowadays, when they go to school, they will learn, right, all kinds of vocabularies, slang, right? And when they come home, sometimes my kids will say things and it will catch my attention. I'll be like, do you know what that means? That literally means this. Or do you even realize what you just manifest, right? And then you help them see it and reframe it with them, right? So again, it comes back to you noticing, knowing, so that you can help them shift the language and use a different words, or just suggest and say, you know, how about this? Or do you mean this instead? You know, right? Yeah. So yeah, that's the language part. And then the focus, it's really just helping them focus. Because sometimes, you know, like today my son is like, school is so hard. I'm so frustrated. I don't know when, you know, my assignments are due. I hate school, right? And then you kind of just focus on one item at a time. What specifically, what are you frustrated about? What can we do about it? And you remind, and I reminded him, you know, you're not alone. I'm here, right? And we're gonna get through this. Let's tackle one concern at a time. And you make them feel like they're supported, that it's doable. It does not have to feel so overwhelmed, right? And let's just focus on one item at a time, right? So you help them focus on problem solving. So again, you help them focus. The other part is just, you know, the posture too is how do we want to feel about tackling this stress that you have? Is first, let's just shift the posture, because I hate school, and then right, he gives me all the posture, and I say, okay, are you open to changing how you feel? It's shift, stand up, move around, right, and say, we got this, right? How would it feel if you actually got this under control, where it doesn't feel overwhelmed? You're just gonna feel good, confident, right, calm, right? So okay, let's stand up, move around, right, shift your energy. Because whenever they go like this, that's what they're drawing, right? They're creating more of. So, okay, if you're going to shift that, then let's shift, you know, our whole movement here, our posture here, right? And then let's do this. And so, you know, at the end of the conversation, it just makes it feels like a smaller issue, and that it's doable, and that I'm not alone. My mom is here with me.
I love what you said, Annie. You know, earlier I was asking myself, how am I going to do this with a 5-year-old, especially a 3-year-old? But as you were talking, I'm over here taking notes, and now I have an entirely different mindset. This is absolutely possible. Like you said, it begins with believing. I need to believe in my children and trust in the decisions they are making. I need to believe in them, then provide them the appropriate language to use or help them to reframe how they are explaining things. You know, my 5-year-old, he is beginning to speak about the things he dislikes about himself, and that right there is an opportunity for me to provide him the right language, or to help him to focus on what the real issue is, or to just even acknowledge that he is frustrated. I love this, Annie, and I am definitely going to try to be more mindful and implement these 4 items that you shared.
Yeah, I love words like, oh, this is easy, this is fun. Are you open to that? Would you like to see how this can be fun and easy? Let's do it. I'll do it with you. I'm here with you to support you. We're in this together, right? Come on, let's move around. Okay, let's you know, like, start, like, where do we start, right? And then just go from there. So when you give them that confidence, like, it's easy, it can be fun, you're not alone, you got me, we can do this, you just give them hope, right? That all we want is that there's hope and that it can be easy and fun. So I love words like easy and fun.
Whatever. Reflect on my parenting experience, especially with my first child, I feel really bad because he was my first child and it was my first time becoming a mother, so I made a lot of bad decisions. But with my second one, I am way more lenient. So with your children, did you experience the same thing, or did you invest it in your first child on showing up as themselves?
You're right, Linda. The first one was almost kind of like the way you practiced, Dawn. The one that you made the most mistakes with. And when I look back, it's like there's so many things I would have done differently. Yeah. And you call guilt, nah? And I think that's also the motivation, too, for me to want to be a better person, right? And so yes, with my first one, Wally Hai told the Gucci to manage Gucci a stress to emotion, huh? Yeah, the Yuying Hai to the low way, Tashima Sato, my Yuying Chi, Jong Shieto, you click them out, you said, man, you know, I'm not proud of that. And Tao Guying Chi noticed Guha behavior, hang tail, like for example, Gutun Tai, Tashina, Gutun Tai Lona, Yatue, Gu. Feel bad chat because I sense that there's some abandonment in her, right? And even only hi mean you wanna say you lulum boat yana you got what they are what a feel idea abundance in they withdraw and they start to create all these like meanings and stories that oh mom she look And so what happened was Tao A Gutu second child Lana Yao. They you know a second child Tao Ni Yao Nan it takes all your energy and focus. They you do teen and you shine on lojo, you then bao ta jona. They you really chi jo ka pay attention don't know ya. And I remember the first day the Gutu second child Lojena Gutun Sana Nukili Nunjiake Gusina Yao, can you really turn, get walk away into a bedroom, get go get cotton. Even though good notice, I didn't key na yo, did she go, what do you, could you, oh, I didn't take her seriously. I'm like, oh, no keys, kali, plug my munzi and no, ya. And so I gave her that space, but couple space then is when she goes and she starts to create all these meaning. Yoko chi mo approach no, taka mo remind no, then na. Ke haya oro no tu shia yo no tu shia ke no kili hai u hai no so that was a moment that if I could turn back time I would go back and just like cuddle her and bring her right out and spend some time with her ka pa those little moment right and then growing you know as time went by you know good more training but yeah it, all these moments malita pop up because when I was doing training about abandonment and how that alone can change a person to cause them to become criminals in life it's that alone there are children who grow up in a home where they have everything provided for them but why did they turn out to be criminals? It's because deep down, like, you feel loved and accepted or enough, or like, they don't feel loved, right? They can grow up in a home where parents are rich and provide everything for them. You build relationship, they feel the abandonment and that can cause them to act up, to do things just to get the parents' attention, right? And as they do more and more, you know, it turns into, violence later on. And so then Kumali realized, feel that oh that she's not that good on time peng chi chua more a distance and she's quiet she's withdrawn she's engaged dog go li go yang na na ya go da but she not ma le po ke you some lot ke tie you no you hi you know wo han long do you tell mom I need this mom right and they're the one that get all the attention but my oldest ni at the way like more responsible and you just share don't know ya de she ma go going notice I then new relationship chi chua close hand and then mo te jo ko sha sha te video na yo ko no de so te ni te sa lo to ko te no shi mo jo ke na ba ko tu yang na lo sa ni jo ke le sha na yo ko ma realize go that oh my god you know those little moment that I didn't see right and so as a parent we have to heighten our sensory acuity right to see all these little moments Now for me, to go poly, to go mali, you know, be really intentional. And that's why I think I shared with you before that this year, I did most of my like outdoor activity with my children. My focus was my children to bond with them again, right? Yeah, and so it was because of that. It's because I realized that I need to spend time with them, and really have a conversation, have like weekly or biweekly meetings with my kids, right? Where I allow them to speak, I ask them what are their needs, how can I help them, and how can I love them the way they want? How do they want to be loved?
That is awesome what you just shared, Annie. Now, I'm curious how you began this ritual in your family. You know, you said you meet with your family biweekly and have them share their feelings or speak about their emotions. How did you begin this ritual or even implement this in your family? I would love to know, and I am sure so does our listeners, because I would like to try this ritual with my own family, especially because my boys are very young. I hope that by starting early when they become older, especially in their teenage years, which is a period where they become more emotionally distant, I'm hoping my boys will be comfortable to express themselves.
Yeah, so I treat my family as almost kind of like a company or like an organization that got to have a mission and vision and values, right? And you reminded them that as a family, this is what we believe in. Right. And to the vision for our family is that we have open communication and that we trust each other and that we rely on each other. Right. And we have values where we're honest, when we're being vulnerable, or, you know, where we forgive one another. Right. And so then you have meetings and you ask them, how do you want our family? What is your vision of this family? Right. Uh-huh. And then how can we, treat each other in the way that will align with our vision? And so, again, it's almost kind of like you create an organization, right? In order to lead, everybody has to have a vision and have to be aligned. Right. And so you do the once that is set, then you do the weekly or biweekly. I used to do weekly, but now it's like biweekly, once a month. Right. But every now and then I got to do that meeting with my family, and everybody has a turn, just like how I do the retreat. Everybody matters. And so everybody has a turn. Right. We talked about high and low of the day or the week or the month. Right. And then evaluating how we show up. And is that in alignment with what we wanted our family to be? Right. And then we talked about clearing things up. Is there anything that you don't want me to know? And you just want to release, right? And so teaching kids to speak, in the beginning it was hard because my kids were like so frustrated and like, Mom, I don't know, I don't want to talk about it, right? But you also respect them and guide them by giving them an example. And say, okay, I'll start first, right? I'll start first. And then you, as you share, then they kind of see where you're going, and then they slowly sharing with you. And so it takes practice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a tool that I use and I share, at the Woman Circle is called a withhold tool. This is a tool that it's about speaking what you don't want to share, right? Speak the unsaid, right? So what we will do is we practice sharing, even if we don't want to. And so what we would do is we would say, if there's something that triggers you, something you're not happy about, is that you're able to come out and say, I have a withhold and I would like to share. My withhold is that it's about you, Mom, right? When you say this, it makes me feel sad and that I'm not good enough, that you don't trust me. Like my daughter is like, I have a withhold with you, Mom. I say, would you like to share with me? She say, yes. When you keep asking me if I did my homework, I feel like you don't trust me. Yeah. And that makes me feel hurt. I like to ask that you don't ask me too many times. I'm like, oh, thank you for sharing with me. Right? And you know what? It's so important that we teach our children how to express the frustration. When I think about depression in our community, it's because we live in a culture where we are not encouraged, we're not supported, we're not allowed to share our frustration, right? Because if it's not... And so then, and so then we never learn to really verbalize our feelings. That's why you bottle up. And then eventually it shows up in the mental and physical health.
I'm going to shift gears just a little bit, Annie. We would still be focusing on creating this ritual in our families, but as I'm listening, I can't help but wonder, since we are speaking about a family unit, what role has your husband played in helping your children to show up as themselves? I know when you have these bi-weekly meetings, it's not just you and your children, but your husband as well. And I know how important it is to have your spouse support. So, you know, sometimes we have these crazy ideas or elaborate ideas, but our husbands can think they are silly. So what role has your husband play?
Yeah, that's another story, right? So my husband, he is not like me. I think the things that I do, the way that I be, which is being intentional, can be kind of complicated for him. But I think he also trusted me enough to come along. So, you know, I don't wait for permission, right? And I don't always wait for him to be on board, but I lead as an example. And I ask him to come along. I ask him to just be there to support and not making him feel like he's the problem. I can't expect him to be on board with me, but I can expect him to support. And I ask him to just play along, come along. And he has seen, I think, in a way, you know, I have sort of proven to him, too, that I have good ideas, I can be trusted, right? And that, you know, as he has trusted me in the past, you know, we have got some really good results. And so when he is on board with us, he has a role, too. We make sure everybody has a role and everybody has a turn to share. So, you know, when it comes to, parenting, right, or meetings, there are times where we contradict it, we contradict it to what we do, and you have to, working on your relationship is another task as well. And working with the whole unit is another task as well, right? And there are times where you kind of like have to pull him to the side and have a conversation with him before you reintegrate, right? And then I'm sure you know, like, we all have different parenting style, right? And I have to be able to say, hey, if I already say this, I need you to back me up, right? You don't go and give them a different instruction, right? Check in with me first. Because we're confusing them if I'm telling them one thing and you're telling them another thing. And so it's sometimes you don't know how to, okay? Just because you're an adult and you expect because, right? And so if I want him on board, I have to, you know, kind of inspire him to be on board with me and take the time to also, you know, we call it teach as well, right? And we can all grow and learn from each other. And so I think what frustrated me in the past was you have this expectation of what he should be, right? And when you don't communicate, you're like, you should know. You're supposed to be this. You're supposed to support me. How does he know how to support me if I don't tell him how to support me? Right? So I have to be specific and say, this is how you can support me. When I'm having a meeting, can you please make sure that the kids are not coming around? Right? Can you make sure that, you know, they are fed, right? And that you're the go-to person, right? So you do, even though sometimes you're like, you should know. I'm in a meeting. I told you. You should know.
Right. I just recently discovered that I have a voice in my marriage. In the past, I would just expect my husband to know I have these unspoken expectations for him, and then I get upset at him when he doesn't do it. However, with my recent discovery, I realized that I play a huge role in our marriage. You know, I need to speak up and use my voice. I need to communicate to my husband my needs rather than just expecting him to know without him actually really knowing. And so, like you've mentioned, he doesn't need to be on board with me. He just needs to support me, but it is my responsibility to communicate to him how I need or want to be supported, or like you've mentioned, lead as an example. Because a while back when I attended one of your retreats, my husband was very supportive, but afterwards he did ask me why I never take him along to these workshops or retreats, and only then did I realize that I could bring him along even when he doesn't understand why I do what I do. With that said, Annie, how important do you believe it is for children to see their parents on the same page? Because if I want to try family rituals and my husband doesn't, how important is it for my children or children to see that their parents are on the same page?
Well, we are the role models, right? And how we treat each other is how they're going to learn what relationship looks like. And so that's why... So the first person you need to work on if you want to impact children is work on yourself, then your spouse, right? Then your children, because they learn by watching you, right? And so how we do all these is when we have our family meetings. We talked about what's important to us and the kind of things that we do and what our needs are and how we want our family to support us, right? And so for me is... they're clear that My Woman Today is an extension of me, right? And that when I'm doing My Woman Today, I need them to support me, for my children to know that if I'm not there, for them to know that I'm on a mission and that they don't feel like I'm neglecting them, right? So I need them to support me by just cooperating and go to auntie's house, even if they don't want to, right? And so the little things that I ask, I say, this is how you can support me. For the children, when I'm in a meeting, you know, the boundary is this. When I have my events, the boundary is this, right? And you can support me like this way. And so set boundary with my kids, boundaries with my husband, ask them how I want them to support me. And then also ask, how can I support them to support me? Right. And so with my kids, they always like negotiate with me. They always ask, you know, what they want. Like a lot of it has to do with money. Right. Whatever works. Right. Because they have to get something in order to give me something, too. And so, like, you know, sometimes I would take them out, right, to their favorite store and let them spend, you know, like a certain amount of money for them so that they will, you know, go to grandma's house and then not making me feel like I'm the bad mom who's abandoning them because I wanted to go to a retreat for multiple days, right? So when they're happy, then I'm happy. I don't think that we can sacrifice, you know, our family's happiness just because we wanted to do it this way, right? So I got to find the middle ground. Unfortunately for my kids, you know, as long as I give them what they want, they're happy too. And they still know that they're doing it for mommy. Yeah.
This makes me wonder about couples, married couple whose husbands see no benefit or value in their wives attending retreats, workshops, or working on self-growth. Husbands who are solid with the idea that a good wife needs to prioritize the needs of her family versus herself, or may even believe that it is selfish of the wife to invest time in herself away from her children and husband. What advice would you give these mothers?
Well, when someone is not on board with you, it's because there's a gap. Whatever that gap is, it could be, most of the time, is the lack of information, the lack of rapport, right? And so communication, again, is key right there. A lot of time, we expect him to be, and so we don't engage in a way where you speak clearly of your needs. We often, even when we're trying to ask them, the energy that comes out is one that is demanding, or what are you doing? And so I think that it goes back to a core belief. And the core belief that I learned from Understanding Men by, I forgot who she is, something Armstrong. Okay, so the core belief is this. The core belief is that I believe men wanted to satisfy the woman. Men truly wanted to love and make the woman happy. When I believe this, then I go in with this in mind and say, honey, I know you love me. I know you want to make me happy. And then, you know, most of the time he would say yes. Well, here's how I like to be loved and supported. And it would make me happy when this happened, right? My woman today is something that lights me up. It gives me purpose. It makes me happy. And one way that you can help in that is that you support me. Even if you don't understand, but I ask that you support me anyway, because that makes me happy. And when I'm happy, then I'm able to come back home and spread this happiness to the children and to the family. Right? And so I think that it's just letting them know what's important to you, what would you like, but you speak from a place of letting them know and asking for help and not demanding, not expecting. Right? And so it goes back to who you are and how you communicate. So that has been my experience. I don't know about other families or other relationship, but I think that if one is not on board, it's because there's a gap there. And whatever that is to that couple, they have to identify what that gap is. A lot of time it's not just like one thing. There's an accumulation of many unspoken truth, many unresolved, you know, issue. There's lots of things that build up to that point. And I think that in order to bridge that is that you first recognize what it is, acknowledge it, and be willing to work on that. And again, you know, yeah, it goes back to when you don't speak your truth and when I can build up a lot of stuff. And it accumulate, and it just accumulate. You don't know which one to tackle anymore. It just seems so much, and you feel like, right? And then, and so there's a lot until you actually come and say, you know what? I realize there's this gap. I don't really know what that is, but I'm willing to work and make it right. And I envision our relationship to be this way. And so in order to be this way, you know, our communication is what we need to work on, is that we need to forgive each other, is that we're able to communicate when you know, things does not feel right or in alignment with, you know, what we want, right? And that we're able to speak and you practice, mama, haina. Okay, and come on, mama, forgive my resolve, let it go, because there's just energy that is built up, a lot of stuck energy built up. You gotta be able to release them, and mama, work to where you have this open relationship where you accept each other, you forgive each other, you see each other's flaws, but accept that and willing to help each other, elevate each other.
Ah, this is so good. I'm making connections to what we talked about earlier. You know, if this is your situation with you and your spouse, reflect on yourself and understand the problem is not only your spouse, right? Earlier, you mentioned the four items to consider when trying to show up as yourself. And so believe that he loves you and want what is best for you, then speak the language that will help him to understand. Also, focus on the primary problems. It's all mutu theming from the past or from other irrelevant issues, right? Most importantly, be mindful of your posture. So if I'm trying to convince my husband or trying to tell him something and I'm approaching him with a defensive posture, and is not, you know, he will not want to listen to what I have to say, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about one of your favorite parenting quote.
Okay, so my favorite parenting quote is from Gretchen Rubin. And it says, the days are long, but the years are short. Every time when I hear it and look at it, it just makes me feel like I want to be a better person. I want to pause the moment. I want to treasure the time I have with my children. It just makes me, I don't know. It's just, it's a quote that makes me think of the end, right? Having the end in mind and to know that one day, and you shared this before too, they're going to grow up and go on their own journey, right? And what I have now is not going to last, and I need to treasure and be present. Even when it's hard now, but, you know, it's later on, it's going to look like it's not hard, and that the year is going to be so short. So I need to be present and just really, really like soaking in with everything that is here with me.
That is such a great quote and great reminder, Annie. You know, my oldest son is only 5 years old, but it feels like the years flew by. We get so busy in life that the days definitely feel long. And I'm always asking, when are the weekends coming around? But in the blink of an eye, 5 years flew by. I remember my son's first day of preschool like it was yesterday, but right now he is already in kindergarten. But okay, I have three more questions for you, Annie, before we say goodbye. This has been so much fun. So my first question is, what is the greatest gift a parent can give their children?
I already said it, and that is just to make them feel loved and accepted. Because, you know, I have 15, 16 years of experience working with children. And of all the problems that I'm dealing with these children, if only they feel loved and accepted at home, we wouldn't have to deal with all these problems. When we think of all the chaos in the world, all the violence and all the, you know, criminal activities, if only children feel loved and accepted at home, we would have avoided all that.
I couldn't agree more with you, Annie, because I am an educator, and every now and then you have a student that comes into your classroom and they act out. You know, they're very loud. They act out in violent and aggressive behavior. And, you know, I remind myself, or I tell myself, that the loudest kid is the one who needs the most love, because they don't have that. They were never given that love. And so, which is why they act out and act the way that they do.
Yes. And I even tell my children too, you know, how to combat a bully at school, right? It's for them to recognize that these children don't have love at home. And for them to spread the love out. And instead of them attacking or feeling fear, is to know that they just need more love. And that my children be the role model too. Yeah.
Right. So my next question for you is, at the end of your mother experience, how will you know that you have been successful?
How would I know? You know, we always want our children to be like us. But again, it just goes right back to what I said. And it's like a repetitious. But it is that they are able to show love and acceptance towards others, and that they feel safe, feeling worthy, feeling enough in the world. Because that's the core. When they have that, they can pretty much achieve whatever they want to do in the world.
You are right. I believe that. Even as an adult, I believe that if I have enough love for myself, I can do anything. And so that is what I wish for my children. I wish they love themselves more than anything, and that they have so much love for themselves. They believe there is enough love to share with everyone. I wish they will have compassion and empathy for others. So just to be an overall good person, you know? So last question, what is one piece of advice you would give to all the mothers out there?
Know yourself. Work on yourself. I think that a lot of times some people feel like, oh, guru la la la, I don't, it's not for me. I don't need to read to learn anymore, right? Like, guru nang ta li no la ku va ku jiao mi yo sena. It's like my message and my advice and suggestion to parents is, have self-awareness. Always grow and learn and continue to elevate yourself, be a better person each day, because, you know, life is changing and we got to keep up. We got to keep growing ourselves so that we can continue to model and you know, connect with our children or the generation today. And so never stop learning, always, you know, grow and learn and get to know yourself more and more and more. So self-awareness.
I love that you brought that up, because there is another piece to you that we haven't shed much light on, and that is your passion in helping women to discover who they are and to live intentionally. We are going to need another episode to be able to cover all that, but I love that you've mentioned to know yourself. So for those of you who are listening and is interested in rediscovering who you are or redefining who you are, join Annie and her amazing community of women called Mom Women Today. I have had the privilege of meeting Annie and associating myself with her beautiful community of strong women, which have greatly influenced my life. Her community will provide a space for you to show up as yourself. So definitely look into that. Annie, I am so thankful for you and I'm just extremely proud that we were able to record this episode. For the longest, I've always wanted to have you on our podcast, but I couldn't pin down exactly what it is we would talk about. You have a great amount of wisdom, and I didn't want us to just record any random episode. Instead, I wanted our episode to have purpose. I had to ask myself, if I were to have Annie on the show, what message would the world need to hear from her? So I went onto your website to read about you, your vision and mission, which is where I discovered your mission to help women to rise up and show up as themselves. So I immediately knew that if Annie wanted to help women to show up as themselves, she would also wish for her children and other children to rise up and show up as themselves. So thank you again, Annie, for joining me. I truly appreciate you and your presence here today.
Thank you for the opportunity, Linda.
Do you guys feel that? I know I do. I feel elated. I haven't been feeling good in a while, especially in the past few days, because I've just been on the go. I haven't made any time to really do any self-reflection, neither have I paused to really be present when I am with my children. Hearing all these beautiful advice and practices from Annie is a much needed reminder for myself. So I will commit to being mindful about myself, reframing the limiting beliefs about myself so that I can show up as myself and be an example for my children. I know it will be a lot harder done than said, but I am grateful to have the practices Annie shared. It starts by believing in yourself, that you are more than enough and that your voice matters. Then focusing on the language you are using towards yourself and the people around you. Focus on what is important and focus on the energy in your body. As always, I encourage you to reach out to our guests. Reach out to Annie or check out her work. Her website is mongwomantoday.com and her Facebook page is mongwomantoday. Remember what Annie said, be yourself. And the only way to do that is by rediscovering who you are. That is it for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode and will continue to join me in the upcoming episodes. I would love to hear from you all. What particular topics would you like to hear from me or from our guest? And I would appreciate it if you can leave a review to let us know how we are doing. To leave a review, you can visit the Facebook page under Circle of Mothers, Apple Podcasts, or Google Play and tell me everything you liked or would like to hear on the podcast. To stay up to date, follow the podcast on any one of the websites where you leave your review. I love you all, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.